How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I wanted to bring everybody an update on what are called de novo banks or startup banks in the banking industry, and also just a little M&A news, a little M&A update, as it were. So let's hop into a few articles here. I want to bring in, so this is an article from S&P Capital Intelligence. And so this is called Challenging Environment Pushes Down 2023 De Novo Bank Count to the Lowest in Years. So the number of U.S. de novo banks formed in 2023 declined to its lowest level in years as the banking industry grappled with a challenging operating environment. During the year, only four de novos were established. Now, for anybody who doesn't know or is not familiar, de novo is kind of a French word for startup, and it's a phrase, it's a name that the banking industry has used for many, many years to talk about startup banks. So if you ever hear anybody say, oh, de novo, it just means startup bank. So only four de novos were established compared with 14 in 2022 and 8 in 2021. The de novo count appears to run countercyclical to profitability in the banking space. For example, we saw very few de novos in the years following the global financial crisis. Recently, the banking environment has again become challenging, even for well-established banking institutions. Thus, the barriers to entry into the banking space are that much higher, and it makes sense for the number of de novos to decline. Generally speaking, Twerdahl anticipates the overall number of banks in the country to continue shrinking, noting that the number of FDIC-insured institutions has been halved over the past two decades. So, and then we can see here from this chart that, 2018, we had six new de novos, 2019, 13, and 2020, we had five. Obviously, pandemic in 2020, that put a kibosh on a lot, but then it bounced back a little bit with eight in 2021, and then 14 in 2022, and then only four here in 2023. Now, I will say a couple things here. So you had 22 banks basically start. If you want to add in the five from 2020, it'd be 27 banks started in that three-year process. Now, you have to keep in mind that a number of these banks, their openings were delayed because of COVID. And when people usually start the process of forming a bank, that's usually a 1 to 2 year process where, writing a business plan, getting your management team together, filing your applications, getting approval, then going out and raising the capital and then completing the capital raise and then getting the final sign off from regulators and going in. And there's just there's a whole huge process there. There's a number of things that you have to go through. It's a very time consuming, kind of a very stressful process. A lot of what you've saw here through 2020, 2021, 2022, those were banks that were in process during the Trump administration. And the Trump administration saw a jump in de novo activity. And we'll see as we go down here. So this just shows that here's the four banks so far this year: Icon Business Bank, Community United Bank, Beach Cities Commercial Bank, and Adelphi Bank, California, Michigan, another California, Ohio. And then it goes through the banks established in 2022, 2021. And we'll come back to this in a second because I just want to touch on capital for a second. So you can see the bank charter application trends. So the top part is applications filed, and then the gray at the bottom is applications withdrawn. And you get this every year. So you could see in 2018, you had 21 filed, 9 dropped out, 25 filed, 11 dropped out. And you can see here in 2020, 28 filed, 18 dropped out. And then I think some of them that dropped out there in 2020 ended up refiling and coming back in again with, some of the delay. So there's a number of reasons why the de novo banks, there's not, before 07, you used to have hundreds of de novo banks formed every year. You'd have, it'd be 100, 150, 200, 250 de novo banks formed every year, every single year. Starting new banks was big business, and it was great because, you had a lot of the mergers around the country A lot of consolidation. So as the bigger banks consolidated, you had these new de novos that would spring up, and those de novos would grow for a while, and then a lot of them would sell out. And so it was a nice kind of mixture between new banks starting and then acquisitions that were going on there. And it was keeping the industry stable for a while. But now, with the de novo numbers being so small and the merger and acquisition numbers being relatively big, and we'll look at some of those M&A numbers in just a minute. You're seeing, obviously, what the gentleman stated earlier here in the article, is that you're going to see the industry continue to shrink and shrink and shrink. Unless these de novo numbers can get back up. Now, what are the big things that prevent somebody from starting a bank? Obviously, capital is the big thing. You got to have a lot. I would say you probably need a minimum of $20 million today to start a bank, but that's just the minimum. If you really want to give yourself a decent shot, you probably want to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, 40, maybe even 50 million. Now, back in 06 and 07, the minimum was simply $6 million. But if you wanted to give yourself a decent shot, you probably wanted to raise 12 or 15 or 20. So obviously a lot more money is needed today. So that's a big part of the issue. But then the regulatory burden, there's just a huge regulatory burden on startup banks. And so that's why it's become, I think, more fashionable in the last few years to simply, if you wanted to get a bank off the ground, you just go find a small bank that's kind of lingering around the area. You buy the charter, you buy the bank charter, you bring in fresh capital and you just build it from there. Off you go. And that's in certain ways, it's a simpler process than starting from scratch. But let's take a look at the capital here. So we have kind of total assets, and then we have total growth since inception. And some of these banks in here you can see have grown, like Bank Irvine has grown very nicely. Total assets, 199 million assets, 408% growth since they opened up. Total deposits, 169 million, return on AA, 0.18. Okay. As you see, most of these are negative here right now. I was actually hoping they were going to show capital in this chart, but they really don't show that. They show it, but as they show assets as of today, I was kind of hoping for capital that they had raised at the beginning. Does it say here? Okay, so down here in this chart, it does have a maximum capital to be raised. And you can see here, this Bank Miami, or no, I'm sorry, not Bank, LME Bank, which is in Burbank, California. They're looking to raise $25 million. Four States Bank share in Carthage. They're looking to raise $25 million. Integrity Bank Corp in Houston, Texas. They're looking to raise $37 million. So again, I think these banks are looking for the numbers. I would say the LME Bank and the Four States Bank, they're just kind of raising, what I would describe as kind of the bare minimum to kind of get yourself off the ground there. Integrity Bank seems like they're shooting for a little bit more there to kind of give themselves a better chance. But then there's a couple of banks. There's one bank I'm thinking of in particular, Piermont Bank right here that established in 2019, they had, I believe if I remember correctly, they had a pretty big capital raise, like right off the bank, right off the bat. Grasshopper Bank in New York, they had a huge capital raise. I think they raised $100 million when they started. They had a big capital raise. A couple of the banks on here that started out, they had, huge capital raises. 80, 100, $120 million. I mean, obviously, if you raise that much money at the beginning, you're going to, at least, if nothing else, you're giving yourself a great shot at getting off the ground and getting something rolling. But obviously not a great moment right this moment, to start a startup bank, given the capital profitability of banks, the regulatory environment, all those, that's kind of not a great stew out there right now. But I also would say this, I would put a caveat in there. It depends on where you are. If you're in a market where there's been a lot of consolidation and maybe all you have is a few big banks around you, And there is, you know, there's demand in that local marketplace for a de novo bank, for a startup bank, or for a small player to basically, you know, maybe you got a lot of small businesses or something in the area. And if you look at it and you say, hey, you know what, we could take a bank and we could start it up and we could turn it into $300-$600 million bank. And I'll tell you, you know, you can have a $400-$600 million asset bank and make money. You can make money every single year. You don't, I don't want people to think that, you know, you've got to have this multi-billion-dollar bank in order to make money. You don't. You need to have a well-run operation. You need to make good loans. But yeah, you can get up to $300-$500 million in assets. You can make money. You can make money every year, and you can return a nice return to your shareholders. But anyway, okay. So enough with the de novo for a minute. Let's switch gears and let's take a look at bank M&A. Let's look at the deal tracker here. So 10 deals announced in February. But what I want to point out here is, all right, let's read the headline here. So for a second here. So 10 US bank deals were announced in February, equaling January's total and pushing the year-to-date value to $939 million. By comparison, 15 bank deals were announced over the first 2 months of 2023 for a combined $342 million. According to S&P Global Market Intelligence, the slow start to bank M&A in 2024 comes after 2023 was a historically low year for deal announcements. So, and you can see here by the chart, the numbers. So 2020, again, obviously pandemic year, 112 transactions, lower than normal. 2021 gets back up, 202 deals, which is kind of more, I would say, normal over what you've seen since probably about 2010, 2011, probably somewhere in that 200 to 250 deal annual range in there. But the number's just been dropping. It's been dropping like a rock. Look at that. 2022, 157, 2023, 99, only 20 deals, you know, announced so far year to date in 2024. And then you look at the kind of the quarterly numbers here, you know, assets sold, deposits sold, you know, median deal value to tangible common equity. And you can see that number's dropping to, you know, 105 down here. So that just means that deal value means your market premiums are dropping for banks. So is it a good time to sell a bank right now? No, because you're not getting a lot of premium there for what you're selling. And that's part of the reason why the number of deals are dropping there. And, you know, 10 bank deals announced in February 24, total deal value, number of deals actual. So you can see there, I mean, those deal values are low. Just because you don't have a lot of activity and you don't have really good premiums right now. Let's see here. Banks targeted in South Carolina and Georgia. 20 most recent U.S. bank deals announced. And then it gets into, you know, deals by region and state here. Now you can see it's kind of spread out, but you can see it's more, you know, a little bit more activity there on kind of East Coast, Midwest, as opposed to the West Coast. Not much going on over here on the other side of the country. So basically, and with the kind of the toxic mixture right now of concerns over capital, bank liquidity, the regulatory environment, I think all these things going on, the uncertainty around commercial real estate and what's going to happen there. I think this is, definitely dampening, you know, the M&A. I will say this, if you go back and look at the episode that I did on M&A a few weeks ago, maybe even a month or so ago, if you go back and look at that, you know, I get in depth with kind of bank M&A and I talk about how, you know, actually I should say it was back in December because it was basically like, what the investment bankers were thinking in terms of, you know, how long it was going to take to kind of rev up the merger and acquisition market. And they were very optimistic that, hey, this was going to be a decent year. So, and then let's take a look at one last article here real quick. This is from Bank Director, and it's taking longer to close deals, but why? You know, what's behind the growing gap between merger announcements and closing, and how banks can speed things up? Well, I'll save you the timeline. Banks, they're not speeding things up right now. So We have longer timelines, basically transactions valued at more than 500 million, averaged 347 days to complete last year compared to 286 days in 2022. You know, bankers are waiting longer and getting frustrated. You know, why the holdup? Well, there are several reasons for the growing gap. In 2021, President Biden issued an executive order calling on regulators to provide more robust scrutiny of banking deals over concerns that excessive consolidation raises costs for consumers, restricts credit for small businesses, and harms low-income communities. And regulators have fallen in line with that. Most agree that the FDIC has been a sticking point, especially for larger deals. You know, bank regulators have reportedly been fielding more comments from community activists during merger reviews on CRA, Community Reinvestment Act compliance and redlining concerns. Sometimes the reviews reveal potential Bank Secrecy Act, BSA, or other violations that demand further investigation. Perhaps the biggest concerns center on safety and soundness. Capital levels are a regulatory priority, and rapidly rising interest rates have left many banks with relatively shaky balance sheets. In the wake of March 2023 failures of three regional banks, agencies are under pressure to avoid mistakes. It's actually six banks that failed last year. The March you had the three regional banks, but there were actually six banks that failed last year. Just point that out. And then obviously the impact of longer closing times. Yeah, it's, you know, causes all kinds of problems. And you know, picking up the pace in January, you know, said we're struck by the length of that. Yeah, I hate to say people the issue here. You're not going to see any change with this throughout the rest of the year. You know, unless we have a new administration come January next year. I mean, this is basically what you got. I mean, the feds are going to take longer to complete transactions. That's their prerogative. That's their priority right now. And you know, you can hem and haw about it all you want, but it's not gonna speed things up. You know, and as long as there is continued uncertainty, let's go back to this M&A for a second. You know, is again looking at this chart, looking at the number of deals. Like until this uncertainty, you know, kind of gets stamped down, and I would say regulators have more confidence to speed up the time frame. And rightly so under, you know, profitability goes back up. There's no longer, you know, we're not worried about commercial real estate. We got a little bit more stability with interest rates and inflation, and bank margins aren't going to get squeezed. Then, you know, once there's that more certainty in the market, then bank M&A deals will pick up. But I have already through the first 2 months of the year, I'm pretty much this is an election year, a lot of uncertainty going on. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of activity the rest of the year in terms of deal flow. I would say you're probably going to finish up the year somewhere in the 60 to 100 transactions, probably end up being less, definitely less than 2023. Maybe you end up with 70 or 80 deals at the end of the day. But I think that's kind of where the M&A activity is going to shake out at this point. You're not going to see a lot of new de novo banks. I mean, right now we've got four so far this year. Probably add a couple more. Might be a couple more applications there by the end of the year. Maybe we get another four or five applications, something like that, that go in. But that's probably about it. That's probably about all you're going to see so far with this year. So that's kind of where things are sitting at right now with de novo banks, with the M&A scene. So I hope those were good articles. I hope people like that. I hope that gives people some numbers and some context to look at around this stuff, just to know kind of what's going on in the banking industry. And so I'll wrap up by just saying, if you like the video, please make sure to like, share, subscribe. That always helps the channel. Please make sure to leave your comments down below. Please make sure to check us out on YouTube, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. Please make sure to check out The Banker Next Door at www.thebankernextdoor.com. Love feedback. I made a lot of changes to the website recently, so I'd be interested to see if people are liking that or you know, if they think things should be added or whatever the case may be. But anyway, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend this weekend. Please check out some of the other videos that I posted, and I will be back again real soon to bring you guys some more fantastic information. So thanks a lot.